Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire podcast is being recorded for January 22nd, 2022. Wow, 22. Interesting how these things work out. They are mathematically interesting, as everything is calculated by mathematics in this world, maybe even the universe, who knows. But anyway, the point of the matter is we're together and we're going to talk about something that I think, a lot of people have thoughts about. And it's basically about Jesus, Buddha, and whether or not they fit into society, whether they existed, what their teachings were all about, were they real, that kind of thing. I am a person who appreciates the complexities of wisdom, and I find wisdom to be very simple, complex in Greg's mind, but very simple to understand. And in that comprehension, there comes a point within each and every one of us where we have to look at whether or not we really appreciate wisdom. And it doesn't matter where it comes from, whether it comes from, I've had great wisdom from my dog. It doesn't really matter where the wisdom comes from. It just matters that I recognize that wisdom. Many years ago, many years ago, over 30 years ago, I was teaching formally. And what that meant was I was doing the Sunday morning gig, which really was nothing more than a sales pitch, the way I looked at it. It had nothing to do with the reality of helping people. People want to be inspired. They want to be told what to believe in, what not to believe in, and what will help them get what they want. And the Sunday morning thing is, to me, it's for the pedestrian mentality. And I wanted to do something different. So I began introducing, from my time in India, the teachings of the Buddha. And I found them to be very helpful for those who were seeking wisdom. And what they would do with that wisdom would be up to them, and I tried to help them with that too. But the minute you start introducing Eastern teachings to Western mind, every bias, every prejudice would come up in people. And so they found it very difficult to accept what I was trying to do. I went through many congregations, in the effort to help people appreciate wisdom in the awakening. And a lot of people would hear it and recoil, and some people, not many, would listen to it and appreciate. So I get questions about this from people all the time in emails about, why do you teach this? Why do you teach that? So I thought I'd share a couple with you today, in an effort maybe to dispel any kind of bias, hang up that you might have, or confirm some things in you that may be helpful. First one comes from Kenny. He does not tell me where he lives. I don't believe in Jesus, he said, and I do not believe he really lived. Why do people like you talk about him as though he were a living reality? I don't think of him as a living reality, Kenny. I don't even know what that means to you. If you mean, does he live today, in the ether somewhere? I have no idea. And nor do I actually fathom that in my own mind. Greg can't fathom that. But deep inside, there is an eternal part of us that I feel very profoundly. And I like talking about Jesus. I spent a whole year on his teachings of consciousness And you can go to the website and take a look at that if you want at aspire.org. But I don't think you'd really be much interested in it because it has to do with the reality of what he was, both as a teacher, a man, and a spiritual avatar, actually. And I just don't think you'd be interested in studying it. But before you come to conclusions about Jesus and whether or not he lived and that whole thing, you've got to start looking at yourself a minute. If you don't believe in him and you don't believe in the wisdom of whatever came out of him, and whether or not it was him or some other author that made these things up and made up the idea of Jesus, you got to admire the wisdom itself. You can't be caught up in the details, the folderol of, well, did he live or did he not? Does he exist? That doesn't matter at all, not even remotely. I think you're missing the point. The point is the wisdom. And if it came from Jesus or Billy Whopper or, you know, Susie Cann or whatever, it doesn't matter. Wisdom is wisdom, and it doesn't matter where it came from. What matters is, does it touch me? Does it remind me of anything? Does it ring a bell inside me? Doesn't matter who said it. What matters is, do I recognize it? And for the most part, people do not recognize wisdom. They can't appreciate it at all. Why? Because if you live by your body, your genetics, your DNA, your physicality, if you just live by the chemicals of your organs as a human being, as a human body, living by the frontal lobe of your brain, you're not going to really appreciate very much that which comes from beyond that part of you, that which comes from maybe past lives, maybe comes from the wisdom of the heart, maybe comes from all sorts of different aspects of yourself that have nothing to do with the mortal coil which you and I are living in within our human body. I just don't think it really matters much whether or not you believe in a man who lived 2,000 years ago or not. It doesn't matter. What really matters, of course, is can I, am I willing to comprehend the magnificent teachings? Well, when I look at Jesus, when I look at whether or not it was Jesus or Bernie, it doesn't matter to me. I see some things in there that have nothing to do with the proof of his existence as a man, but I see everything in there that is the proof of his divinity as a spiritual being. And that is deeply moving to me. I mean, deeply moving to me. I can't tell you how important that is. And until you have lived a life, and I don't know how old you are, you sound rather young in your email, but that could be just your basic immaturity. If you really appreciate the kind of wisdom he offered, then you look at it and you have to admit to yourself, this is beautiful stuff. This is stuff you can live your life from and with and through. And that in itself is a very valuable tool. So I don't know, you know, how you want to approach this, obviously. But if you approach it literally and you need to believe that he didn't exist, that's fine. But maybe it would be good for you to consider the idea of the wisdom, whether it came from Jesus or Bob, Ted, Carol, or Alice. It doesn't matter. I hope that helps you. People get set in their ways, and I think you wanted an argument that and a debate that I'm not willing to go into because it's useless. Please forgive me. Namaste. I get these all the time, these prove this, prove that, you know, as if. The last one comes from Ellis, and he does not tell me where he lives. What if Jesus did not exist? What would happen to the world? I don't know. I mean, I don't think like that. That's, first of all, I don't think I'm smart enough to consider what that would be. Second of all, I don't think it matters. And all that really matters is that we have his teachings. The same thing with Buddha, as you put in your email, what if he didn't exist? What would happen to the world? And, you know, I look at it and I think, well, these are not the kind of questions I would hope you would be pondering. You know, what if? That just, your ego's taking you off on side paths that aren't going to help you. The question is, what do these teachings mean? Where did they originate from in the heart of both the Buddha and Jesus? What were they all about? What were they trying to get over to humanity, humankind? I know people who believe more in UFOs than they do whether or not Jesus or Buddha were relevant and, you know, existed. Later on in Ellis's email, he talks about he didn't think that Buddha or Jesus were relative to, you know, our current culture, and that would probably be true. They're not. With millennials and Gen Xers and Gen Zers and all of these crazy people who just are off the chart with their extremes and driving the world into a different kind of reality, which will be interesting to watch, we are beginning to realize that the relevance of a person is only in how they live in their human body. Nothing more, nothing less. We don't see the bigger picture. We're not interested in the bigger picture. We're only interested in the YOLO mentality, which is you only live once, so get everything you can before you die. And that's the way most people live. Nihilism is very, very, very prevalent now. So we have to really begin to look at the course of our own life. What is relevant to you? And Ellis, it seems what is relevant to you is anything that touches your skin. But there are things that go beyond the skin, that go beyond the ideals of our human body, that go beyond the needs of our human body. And if you live purely by the human instincts and all of the infatuation we have with our emotionality, we live a very shallow life. And I think that's why everybody's into marijuana and alcohol and all sorts of distractions that make a person maybe for a few moments relieve them, that would probably be a better word, from the burden of their difficulties with themselves. And they blame it on life, they blame it on society, they blame it on culture, they blame it on all sorts of things. But humankind's basic problem is itself. So there's really nothing I can say to help you with all of that. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And I'm not here to convince you. You will be convinced by the state of your life and the proportion of how you lived your life when you get to a certain place, whether it be in this lifetime or another one, where it is critical for you to understand the nature of your living and why you were here. And that takes some real energy and willingness to go beyond the mental constraints of our body and our emotionality. It just, it takes a different kind of person. Oop, I'm out of here. Ellis, thank you for your question. It was interesting. It really was. And thank you for listening. Please forgive me. Namaste. We're out of here. Be back tomorrow with some more very interesting questions that I received over the holidays. Please forgive me. Please. Namaste.